Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of Tokyo Toy Rambles. The show's not dead. I'm not dead either. I know it's been 10 months, and I do apologize about that. A quick thing before we get into the show. This episode was actually meant to come out in June of last year. So if it's a little disjointed and a bit out of whack, it's because the show notes I wrote are 10 months old, and that is my fault. The show's delay is my fault, so I'm sorry about that, but the show should be on a more regular schedule now, and I just want to thank everyone for sticking around, and I hope you enjoy the show. Let's get right into it. So, I guess long overdue follow-up would be the Ginga Mirai watch, and how well that's held up, because it's no longer I got this toy and it's just come out, and I can review it after it's just come out. No, I've had it for 10 months now. And I want to discuss how well the toy has actually held up, because we are halfway through a new season of Kamen Rider. So we've got new toys, and I own most of those new toys. So now I actually have something to compare it to. I can compare it to Build, and I can compare it to 01. The Ginga Mirai watch definitely has one of the best build qualities out of the ride watches I own. So I own the Waz, Shinobi, Quiz, Kikai, and Decade Complete Ride Watches. So there's one Geo Ride Watch and four Mirai Watches, not including the Ginga Mirai Watch, which is the only odd-shaped one I have. So Kamen Rider Geo had a lot of like odd-shaped Ride Watches. So you had things like the, for example, the Grand Geo, the Gates Majesty, Geo 2, the Decade Ride Watch, the Geo Trinity Ride Watch, the Gates Revive Ride Watch. They're all oddly shaped Ride Watches, and this is no exception. So the Ginga Mirai watch is comprised of like a regular ride watch shape with essentially a big circle off of the side. You could almost, I think Dawson Rider made it's like a tumor joke, like it looks like a big tumor. And there's like a big button section where you'd think you'd press down on it, but it's actually not. It actually just shows the symbol that you were currently on. So there are technically four modes. There are only three that are used in the show, but you can actually like transform, I use that in big air quotes, with the Ginga mode, which is the Ginga Mirai watch mode. So technically, yeah, there are four modes, but there's not really four modes. And they are activated by spinning the wheel, which is actually really cool. I remember, I think episode one, when this first came out, when we first got scans of it, I'm like, oh, I think the button will spin the wheel. No, you just spin the wheel yourself. So the molding detail is actually quite nice on this toy. It looks really smart and it looks really nice. My only complaint is, like with most Toku toys, it uses this really grey plastic, not the silver plastic like it is in the show. In the show, it's more of a metallic-y silver colour, and that's just not the case with this version. It is a nice Bandai grey plastic. So it looks a little cheap in that department, but there's not really much you can do about it. Other than that, it's just a standard Mirai watch with a standard set of sounds, so we'll get right into that. So we'll get right into the sounds. Just briefly, we won't actually do the full transformation sounds, but there are four activation sounds, so you get one. So those are the four activation sounds. The first one, like I said, is just saying the name of it, and that will actually give you the speech, the really long-winded speech, like all the ride watches have, where they talk about whatever the character is. And but all the others, if you press the button multiple times, it will just say the form name. So you've got Ginga, you've got Taiyo, and Wakse. Not Wase, like I said in episode 1 or 2 or 3, whatever it was. That's not the right thing, it's Wakse. So you've got Ginga, which is galaxy, you've got Taiyo, which is sun, and then I believe Wakse is planets. Other than that, it's a pretty unremarkable sound, if that makes any sense. It's, I think it definitely fits the best out of all of it. So I've always had a problem with the Mirai watches in the way that they sound like the voice of the Beyond driver has never been my favorite. It sounds very screechy and it like yells at you, and it's been especially apparent in toys like the Shinobi Mirai watch and the Quiz's Mirai watch, where they just scream at you. But this toy, it actually sounds right, if that makes any sense. I'll show you what I mean. So right now I have the Quiz Mirai watch on, so
Future Diamond! Fashion! Fashion!
and then we'll get the just standard Ginga Miraid watch. So whilst it's still quite screamy at you, it is nowhere near as bad as something like the Quiz Miraid watch. I picked that one out specifically because I think it is the worst offender in terms of it just screams at you. So, and all of them kind of sound like that, and they all have a catchy jingle, and they all speak well, and I think that, like I said, I think the voice actor really did a great job in this one, as it actually does fit the toy in a sense. Like, it feels like a natural extension. It doesn't feel like it's just screaming at you, which is, like I said multiple times, it's always been my problem with this toy. Now, the other problem is kind of a nitpick. I sort of mentioned it in episode 3. I said that the finishing sound, like the statement, the finishing statement, if you'll call it that, does overlap the music. So I'll just show you what I mean rather than trying to explain it poorly. So on a standard Miraid watch, if you open up the belt, you get this. As you can see, it's pretty standard, like the music plays in time, it says the finishing statement, and then the standby music starts playing, waiting for you to close the belt back up. However, if we take the Ginga Miraid watch, I almost said the Quiz Miraid watch, and open it up, we get this. Not only do we get, in my opinion, a much cooler standby music jingle, you can see it overlaps. It before it can finish saying finally beyond the time, it starts playing the music, which I used to think was a huge problem, but in kind of practice, I actually really like the way that it's turned out. It adds the effect of the show. Sometimes in the show, they will do a thing where it's like a really rushed finisher. I don't know how to describe it properly, but it is essentially that. It's really well done in a really weird way. I really like it, but at the same time, I don't. And I guess that's another thing we should talk about with the Ginga Miraid watch. It finally unlocks the different music inside of the Beyond Driver, the much better music, in my opinion. I really don't like the standard jingle. So with a standard ride watch, you get this. And for the finisher, you get this. Now for the Ginga Miraid watch, you get the much cooler standby of this. And of course, if you want to do the finisher, you get this. See, not only are these sounds, in my opinion, 100 times cooler and better and just, I don't know, fresher, if you will, than the standard jingles, they really bring life into the toy. A toy with hidden standby jingles is one of my favorite things, because that means down the track when you get a new toy, it makes the toy feel brand new again, like I just repeated. You could even say the same about the Build Driver and the 01 Driver. I don't actually have the 01 Driver to demonstrate, but there is a hidden standby jingle in that. And I really like that, because when you get a new power-up toy, not only do you get new power-up phrases, you get a whole new set of music, which, like I said, really does make the toy feel fresh and brand new. So, I guess to conclude, if you can find a Ginga Miraid watch at a good price, if you can justify the price, because they are expensive now in the aftermarket, and if you, like Woz, if you own the Beyond Driver, I think if you own the Beyond Driver, you really should get this, because this is definitely the best Miraid watch. If you had to pick out of the four future riders, so Shinobi, Quiz, Kikai, or Ginga, which one to get their ride watch for, definitely get the Ginga Miraid watch, because not only do you get a cool like Ginga sound, but you get two other forms in it, and you get the cool new standby jingle, which, yeah, you can do, like, you can hold down the bottom button when you put a standard ride watch in. I used to do that, but this is way cooler. It's a really cool it's a really cool toy. It's just really well done, and I would strongly recommend it. Like I said, if you can pick one up for a good price, I think I got mine for about $40 when it came out before shipping, but I think they'd be way more than that, because it's the aftermarket, and the aftermarket's like that. But yeah, to repeat myself for the 100th time, if you can get this toy, I strongly recommend it. So our last Kamen Rider item for the show today is the DX Force Riser. I will be covering the Shot Riser and Thousand Driver in the next episode, but I really just wanted to talk about this toy because I kind of have some interesting feelings towards it. So the DX Force Riser is used by Kamen Rider Horobi, Kamen Rider Jin, Kamen Rider Ikazuchi, and Kamen Rider 001. Throughout the show and the movie, 001 is a movie form. But this is an interesting toy. So the idea behind the Force Riser is instead of authorizing the progress keys, it forces them open, hence the name Force Riser. And they've pulled it off in a really interesting way. So before we get into how the toy actually works, I would like to talk about what the toy comes with. The toy is very simple. It comes with, obviously, itself, some belt straps, and it comes with the Sting Scorpion progress key. So another important thing to note is that this is not technically a full-size DX driver. It is, but it doesn't work the same way as like a 1000 driver or a 01 driver, where the belt straps clip into the side. They actually loop through the middle of the belt, hence it's really hard to take the belt strap on and off consistently, which is kind of annoying. I really don't like the way that they've done this. It's like the Shot Riser belt buckle, which we will get into in the next episode. However, that's excusable because that's just a dummy belt buckle that does nothing else other than to hold the Shot Riser. This is the belt, and it really does detract from the way that the toy works. It's a real pain to get in, and I haven't even taken it off since I got the toy. Like, that's how annoying the belt strap is to get on and off the toy. So yeah, ultimately, you kind of, once you get the belt strap on this tool, you kind of just leave it on and set it down in a corner. So, the whole concept of the Force Riser, like I briefly mentioned, is that it forces the progress keys open. So unlike the Shot Riser and the 01 driver, and to an extent the 1000 driver, because the 1000 driver doesn't really authorize the key. This actually has a gimmick where it opens the progress key up. Forces it open with a lever that you pull and hope it doesn't get stuck and locked, because that is a problem. This toy has, in my opinion, really significant quality control issues, and I'm not sure if this is just mine, but sometimes the mechanism, the forcing mechanism, will just lock and lock up, and it will half open the progress key, or sometimes it won't open the progress key and you get this really loud clicking like you're breaking it or something. It's a real problem because this is kind of the main thing of the toy. It's like if the Shot Riser's trigger just broke or something, like it would be really bad. Not only does the mechanism for the toy lock up, but the way that the progress keys work, a little bit of backstory, is they have two little buttons, and when they are in a toy, one of the two buttons is pressed constantly to tell it which mode it is in, and then the other button is pressed to signify a trigger being pushed down or being pushed in or something. So it controls the finishing sounds, which is pretty typical for a Toku toy. I don't know if it's this progress key or if it's this belt. I'm assuming it is this belt because it's not just the Sting Scorpion progress key that does this. Whenever you walk around with this belt or move with this belt on, it like presses the button to do the finisher. So multiple times you will be wearing this belt, doing the transformation sound, and you'll move, and then it'll just go to the Sting finisher sound before the transformation's even over. It's really annoying, but I'm gonna try and get it on audio so you guys can hear this. As you can see, I actually managed to get it in the first try. The bit where it says Sting, that's my really good impression, that's not actually meant to be in the transformation, for those of you who don't know. That is the finishing sound. That is the noise that this makes. It just did it again. As I put it down, it literally just did it again. I'm going to leave that all in to show you how fiddly this toy is. And a Toko toy should never be this fiddly, because this is a roleplay toy. And this is something that I just put that down with my hands very carefully on my desk. You're meant to be wearing this on your on your person when you walk around and supposedly kick and punch and do all the movement. Like, it's a roleplay toy. And it's just constantly going sting, sting, and like, it's really annoying because it makes roleplay with this toy impossible. It takes the one thing that this toy is meant to do, be a roleplay toy, and throws it out the window, because when you wear this thing, you have to be so incredibly careful that it's not even worth wearing. It's really sad because I really like the way that this works. Other than the toy locking up, which I can somewhat forgive, if it didn't have the audio problems where it just cuts itself off, I could forgive the lockup of the mechanism. Now, I don't actually see this as a minor issue, because this toy is a roleplay toy. It is meant to be worn, and if the toy constantly cuts itself off and is constantly playing the wrong noise, it has failed at the one job it's meant to be doing, which is to be a roleplay toy. You don't see the shot riser constantly shooting when you wear it. It's not constantly going pew 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 pew. That's my impression of the shot riser, by the way. It's gonna age really well. You don't see that thing shooting all the time, is what I'm trying to say. And same with the thousand driver. You don't see the thousand driver constantly going thousand destruction. This thing just cuts itself off, and it's really frustrating because I love the concept of this toy. The whole concept of it forcing the thing open, and the Force Rise voice line is actually really cool. In fact, I didn't even get it on recording. Which, to me, that sounds really cool. That's a really cool set of evil transformation sound, which you don't get to hear because either the Sting Scorpion key is doing a finisher noise, or, this leads me to the other problem with this toy, the other Progress keys have their text-to-speech part talk over them. So, we move on to this problem. What do you mean text-to-speech? For those of you unfamiliar with the 01 toy line, each progress key has a little text-to-speech bit afterwards. Some of the power-up forms don't. They use, like, actual voice actors. But for the most part, every progress key, every standard progress key at least, when it is in the 01 driver and shot riser, has a text-to-speech part, which I will show you right now. And for good measure, I'll show you one with an actual voice actor at the end.
The Golden Soldier Thouser is born. Presented by Zaya.
My point being is that with the exception of the Sting Scorpion key, the Flying Falcon key, even the Amazing Caucasus key, which is Thouser's key, and the Metal Cluster Hopper key, they all speak over... Everything that isn't those speak over the toy. So those keys that I mentioned, the Sting Scorpion, Flying Falcon, Amazing Caucasus, and Metal Cluster Hopper, they actually cut their speech bit at the end for the Force Riser, which is nice, but everything else doesn't. And it's really annoying because, okay, some of them line up perfectly. So the Rising Hopper key, which I actually don't have, even in the movie, it says, "A jump to the sky turns to a rider kick," and then it says, "Break down." The toy says, "Break down." Like, it lines up perfectly. But my favorite key, which is the Flaming Tiger key, speaks over it because it's talking about the explosive power of one. Like, no one cares. Shut up. Like, it's really annoying that they designed, like, the Sting Scorpion key is a later key than something like, I don't know, the Shooting Wolf key, which has the same problem. But the Flying Falcon key is designed to shut up, and it's a first wave key. So you can't use the excuse that, oh, they planned the Force Riser a little bit later. Oh, they weren't sure how it was going to work, because they were. Because the Flying Falcon key is a first wave progress key, and it works exactly the same as the later Sting Scorpion key, which really annoys me. So, I don't know why they've done this to themselves, and I'm assuming the Rocking Hopper, Zetsume Rise key, which we get with the repaint of this toy, which I'm not getting. I'm assuming it will work exactly the same, and I'm assuming all power-up toys will work exactly the same. I'll actually have to check if the Rampage Gatling key works the same as the new ones, because it seems like the new progress keys have no problem, and they actually realize, oh, we shouldn't talk over the toy. But, like, I don't know. It's just a really weird problem to have with this toy. So it's kind of hard to give a recommendation on this toy. I really like it, but at the same time, there are better toys in this toy line. If you want to get a simple transformation toy that is also a weapon, I really recommend getting the Shot Riser over this toy. I think it might be a tiny bit more expensive, but it has the same... It has the same sort of gimmick, so it's the same more cut-off progress key sound, so it doesn't have the full 0-1, like, jingle sounds, but it has, it's a gun, it's a roleplay toy, it's a transformation device, but it's also a gun, which this is not, and it doesn't have weird sensitivity problems like this toy has. So, I really can't actually recommend this toy, but it's still a fun toy to have. It's really weird in that regard. So, if you can pick one up pretty cheap, get it, but I paid about 70 for it, and I would pay no more than 70 for this toy. I would not even pay 70 for it again. So I guess I really can't recommend it that much, but ultimately, I don't know. I'm really mixed on this toy, if you can't tell. So in the time between last episode and this episode, an Ultraman series has been and gone, and I'm not sure if I spoke about the Tiger Spark in last episode. I don't think I did. No, it wouldn't have existed back then. It may have been announced, but it didn't exist. There was no details or anything. So the Tiger Spark is Ultraman Tiger's changer. It is a wrist-mounted changer, unlike many other Ultraman changes. Everything from the new generation has been not a wearable changer. So, like, Ginga, Victory X, Orb, Geed, and Rube all had changes that you held and stuff, which they're okay, but having an actual wrist-mounted changer is really nice for a change, because you don't actually have to wear it, you can just put it on and it's done. Another thing to note about Ultraman changes is that they are super unique. They are never like Rider or Sentai changes in the way that they just have a totally out there look and gimmick, and especially the upcoming Ultraman Z changer. Oh, that thing looks so cool. It's like a big blade and all that, like, really unique changer. So the Tiger Spark is no different, really. It's like a wrist-mounted thing. One piece goes on the actual wrist, and then there's a movable piece that goes on top of the hand. This is where the sensor is to detect which spark is being used between Ultraman Tiger, Fuma, and Titus. Those are the three I got in the set. There was a bundle set where you get the little holder with all the sparks on it and the actual changer itself. The changer is pretty simple in a way. You've got the button that initiates it. You've got a two bright LEDs, one multicolored and one I believe only stays on red. And it's a very comfortable wrist changer, unlike a lot of wrist changers that I own, wrist mounted changers. It's actually quite comfortable. The Mega Hue Loader was very uncomfortable. The Caesar Blaster is also pretty uncomfortable due to its size. And I don't really have any others other than that, not that I can think of. But basically what I'm trying to say is that this is the only comfortable wrist-mounted device I've ever used. Of course, it doesn't fit me perfectly because I'm not a small child. So, I mean, that's okay, though. It's like I said, it's got a really unique look. Ultraman changes have a very distinct look to them. And this is with a black or a gray, gold, red. That's the color scheme. And it's really quite nice, actually. The bright LED on the handpiece sort of looks like the color timer that you see on pretty much every Ultra. And the sparks themselves, or the crystals, I should say, not the sparks, sorry. The Tiger crystals are very cool. Basically, the way that this toy works is, unlike the Geed Riser, or I'm just trying to think of another toy, the Rube Gyro, that has something that you just slot in and it reads it off of pin codes. This is more like the Orb Ring in the fact that you wear the changer on your wrist, and the way that it scans the Tiger Sparks is you grab them. You grab hold of them and it reads them through that. And it's really cool. It's really well done. It's got a really nice sound set. So, speaking of sounds, I'll show you some of them. So, we've got the nice, very nice loud activation noise, as on all of them. It's not as bad as the Rube Gyro. The Rube Gyro was a piercing, horrible noise. In this mode, you've got the mode where you pull down the thing and it says, come on. And then it'll wait for you to put a spark. So a very, very cool start, a very cool transformation sounds. And that's all I'm going to do because they are pretty similar. That, and I've lost the finisher ring. I don't know where it is. I did a reshuffle of my room and I've lost a bunch of pieces to the room god. It's in here somewhere. So I do apologize for that. But it's a very simplistic changer. It is quite loud and the noises are quite intense, but I really like this toy. It's a really fun toy. The way that the crystals slot on, they have this piece that you put on like a belt buckle or something, and then they jingle around like that. And it's just overall a really fun, unique toy. Ultraman changes have always been a favorite of mine, and I do actually plan on getting all of the new generation and doing an episode dedicated to Ultraman changes so I can go into a lot more depth on each one. But that's just my quick little review of the Tiger Spark. If you can grab one at a good price, pick one up. Seriously, they're really fun. It's really well made. It doesn't have build quality problems like the Rube Gyro does. And the gimmick is actually pretty cool. The crystals are really cool. So I would recommend this one 100%. This has been consistently the worst part of my show, and that is the Super Sentai and Power Rangers area. Just because I don't collect as heavily in Super Sentai and I don't follow the show as much as I do like Kamen Rider or Ultraman. Kira Major, I don't know how to say it properly. I think it's Kira Major. I don't know. I digress. This series has really sparked my interest back in collecting again. The last thing I bought from Super Sentai was the Duo Changer and Duo Changer Final in a set, and then I got Kishiryuo, the Five Knights set, and that's pretty much been about it. Like I said, I don't really collect changes. The Kirame Changer is nothing to really write home about. It's better than the Ryusou Changer. I really didn't like that thing because the really crappy Ryusou Cool pun. And I don't know, this is something about the voice on that changer that I'm like, oh god, no, get that away from me. But the mecha this year, Kirimajin, is something that I really want to buy. And I will definitely be buying after all this virus stuff settles down and I can go back to work like more stably than what I currently am. But this set is really cool. The whole sparkling gimmick, I really like that. The way that this thing looks, I really like it. It's got a really unique style to it. That, and out of the box, you can do, like, three mechas, technically. You can do Land Mage, Sky Mage, and then one where they're all together, and that is Kirimajin. And, it's nowhere near as good as Kishiryuo. Kishiryuo is super fun. It's got great gimmick, like, the great gimmick of taking it all apart and putting it back together in unique ways. Yeah, I know it's not that, and it is smaller in terms of height than other years, but I kind of don't care. This thing looks really cool. This thing is like super slick. There's just something about the way that it looks that I am so excited to get. Other than that, like the rest of the Kira Major line is okay. The weapons package is kind of a bit, like what I mean by the weapons package, the mecha weapons. I don't know what they're called. I'm really sorry. I don't actually know what they're called. They're just like, in Jiwoja, they had like mini cube animals and they were like weapons for the mecha. They're sort of doing that again with Kira Major, and you can buy a set of like seven, but I really don't think that they're that worth it. Like, I probably won't be buying that set because I think it's like 10 or 20 bucks extra for those like little mecha, and they really just don't add a lot. They're not auxiliary mecha. That, and we have got, I believe it's King Liner or something. It's not King Liner, that's Deno, I think. It's something similar along those lines. It's like a train mecha that's coming up. We've just got scans of it, and this thing looks so, so good. I cannot wait to get this thing. It's like a big long, I think it's a dragon or a snake, or it's some reptile. It reminds me of Ryu Voyager from Uchu Sentai Kyuranger, in the way that it's very long. I believe it's like 70 centimeters long or some ridiculous thing like that when it's fully laid out. It's 70 centimeters long. That's huge. That's longer than the Ryu Voyager was, and that thing's huge when it's laid out on a table. And I believe this thing makes like a mecha of its own. It just looks really cool. Outside of that, the weapons look okay. Like I said, I'll probably be skipping the weapons. I will be skipping the weapons. I never buy Sentai weapons. And I will probably be skipping the changer, unless the Six Rangers changer is cool, which we don't even know what the Six Ranger is going to look like. But yeah, ultimately, the toy line is going pretty well so far. I think it is better than Ryu Soldier. That's an unpopular opinion. I just didn't really like the Ryu Soldier, the voice on those toys. And I know that's a really shallow point to, like, critique them on. But I'm the customer. I'm buying it. Like, I think I can do that. But ultimately, just a really cool toy line so far. And I'm excited to see where it goes. And lastly, on the show, I am very excited to talk about something I am so happy to own, finally, after all these years. I finally own myself a DX Samurai Gate Shinkeno. Oh my god, I love this thing. Okay, I get it, it's 11 years old, it's not very current news, it's not a current toy to talk about. This thing is so cool. For those of you who don't know, no one would know. I've never spoken about it on the show. I'm acting like I've spoken about this on the show. I collected all of Power Rangers Samurai's mecha, all those mecha, a long, long, long time ago. Because of course, Power Rangers Samurai is what Shinkeno was Shinkenja was adapted into. And I've been waiting to get a Shinkeno for a long, long, long time. I don't know why I held off until this long, but recently I finally managed to get one at a good price. I'm just bringing him over. I'm trying to not make too much noise with the mecha so it doesn't sound like that, you know? He is super cool. I think I'd rather do a proper video review, so I'm not going to do a crappy audio review like I did with that awful episode 2 of this show. Oh my god. I just want to discuss briefly my impressions of it. I got mine in second hand. It was very good, very good condition. There's a few bits of wear on the paint, but that doesn't really matter. The big deal about this toy is the fact that emblem mode is a thing. Like, Bandai America were like, hey man, emblem mode, that's too expensive. I kind of get that. It's only not a problem until you get to the final combination and the Turtle Zord could be a circle, but the Ape Zord was just awkwardly hanging out. Having this thing be a proper triple changer is really cool, and just, it looks so much better, and there's a shield unlike the original. The Samurai Megazord never had a shield. Like, I don't understand why. Like, I get that they got rid of the disc gimmick, that's fine, you get rid of the hidden disc gimmick, because that was the gimmick of Samurai Sentai Shinkenjo, was hidden discs, and the shield was a hidden disc, right? So, I get it, they got rid of the hidden disc gimmick to save money in America. However, that doesn't stop them from just giving me a piece of plastic and calling it a shield, and not repurposing the Beetlezord to be a crappy, half-assed version of a shield, because that's not what the show suit looked like. I'm just ranting now, essentially. Basically, this quick discussion is now turning into a rant about a toy. Kabuto Shinkeno, which is the original version, It's not great. It's not a very good looking mecha. That's besides the point. It's what the suit is wearing in the show. It's what the stuntman is wearing in the show. Basically, they took the Kabuto Origami, which is a big orange Kabuto Beetle, and they stuck the legs of it onto the Shinkeno's arms, and then they made the rest of the body a huge helmet, right? So what did America decide to do? What did Bandai America decide to do? Oh no, we will not make it look anything like it in the show, and we'll make the body a shield. Huh? That's not what it looks like. I mean, it's not as bad as the swordfish, which just got turned into an arm with a sword sticking out of it. But I mean, this is just a whole nother. This is a YouTube video. This is not for a podcast. But I got so off topic there. What was I talking about? That's right. No, I lost track. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is, oh, that's right. Hidden shield. They could have included a shield in the American version, and they didn't. basically, this is just a better version, and I'm just wanting to talk about it because I was really excited when I got it. And they're pretty hard to find for not stupid prices. Like, I paid about $160 for a secondhand one, and brand new ones are at least $200 plus, $250. That's what I was looking. And that's a lot of money for me. I didn't want to spend that much money, although I do want it. But if you can grab one for like $150, $160 bucks in pretty good condition, seriously, go grab it. Like, grab one while you can, because this thing's 11 years old and they're only going to go up in value because of how cool it is. I guess that's my recommendation. I should probably wrap up the show now. And that's this week's show. Thank you so much for tuning in. And I apologize again for the huge delay on the episodes. I really hope that episode 5 isn't in 10 months. I'm going to try and make another episode before the end of May, or April, sorry, before the end of April. We are in April next month, right? Before the end of April, so I hope to have one out next month. I hope to do at least one of these a month, probably every 2 weeks. I've got more spare time now, so there shouldn't be such a long wait between this and the next episode, so yeah. But thank you to all my fans for sticking around and actually waiting for me to come out with a new episode. I really appreciate that. You guys have been great, and I hope you guys have enjoyed this episode as much as I have recording it. Thank you guys. I'll see you in the next one.